If you have your Bibles, Romans chapter 10, 9 through 11 is our text, Romans chapter 10, 9 through 11. And I suppose if I had to give it a title, I would just call it Two Essentials of Salvation, dash Confession and Belief. Two essentials of salvation, confession and belief. It's a very familiar passage of the Scripture. I'm not sure it's a real understood passage of the Scripture, and I hope to help you understand it a little bit better this evening. And so in Romans chapter 10, in verses 9 through 11, if I could have you stand as I read this, I'd appreciate it. It says in Romans 10, verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart men believe unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Thank you. You may be seated. Confession and belief. If you will look at verse 9, it says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth. And then if you'll slip down at verse 10 again, we see a confession used the second time. First one is confess. The second one is confession. In verse 10, it says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession. So circle that. Confession is made unto salvation. Belief is also used twice. If we go back to verse 9, it says, if you confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart. And then you go down in verse 10 again, it says, for with the heart men believeth. So you got believe and believeth twice. We see those there. And then the third time for believe or believeth is whosoever believeth in verse 11 on him shall not be ashamed. I'd like to start out by talking about confession. Confess is the Greek word homologio, and it means to speak agreeable to fact and truth. It means to declare openly, or perhaps so you can grasp it a little bit better, it's within the range of definition to say, to give assent to. To give assent to. Now, I want you to think about that. What is here that we are to be giving assent to? Since this is an important part of salvation, what do you have to give assent to? Well, you have to confess the Lord Jesus Christ. It says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus. We clearly know that Jesus Christ isn't a way of salvation. He is the way of salvation. And so what we have here in this confession is that you're putting aside everything else. Jesus Christ isn't one of a group of many. Jesus Christ is one. And Jesus Christ is not one, just one. He is the one. So there must be an open recognition of his authority to the full extent is that he is Lord. He is the only way of salvation. Not a way, but the only way of salvation. It's not Jesus plus anything. It is Jesus. That's what that is all about. This confession includes an acknowledgement of Christ as the only sovereign, if you would, and a recognition of our need of him and of his authority over us, and that he is the only means of salvation. I remember a tract a long time ago. I wouldn't have anything to do with it. The tract title was Try Jesus. No, nobody tries Jesus. If you're just going to try Jesus and you say, well, let's see, I'm going to try this for a while. You know, I've tried different brands of shaving lotion, and I don't like any. You know the one that I like, Old Spice. The last time I mentioned it, well, anyway, I got lots of Old Spice, so I don't have to ask for Old Spice anymore. But anyway, the fact of the matter is that Jesus isn't a matter of trying anything, because when you say confess, you're talking about to give assent, and that you're excluding everything else. He is the way. He is the authority. He is the one. To confess Christ is to acknowledge Him as the only Messiah and Savior, and our desperate need of Him. Before you can be saved, you have to realize that you need Him. You have to realize that you need Him. And why do we need Him? Well, I don't need to tell the choir here, but we're all sinners and we're all separated from God before we're saved. I like the way that Isaiah chapter 59:2 puts it. It says, "But your iniquity hath separated between you and your God, and your sins hath hid His face from you, that He will not hear." It is completely impossible for a sinner to reconcile himself to God. You have to say, "I need you, Jesus Christ. You are the only way. You're my only hope." He's not a one way of hope amongst a number of choices of hope. He is the only way of hope. I like the way Ephesians chapter 2, 14 through 18 puts it. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14 through 18, it says this, "And He is our peace." See, we're talking about that a little bit this morning. The only way to peace, the only way to reconciliation to God is through Christ and Christ alone. So let's read on. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14. "For He is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in His flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in the ordinances, to make in Himself of twain," of two, "one new man, so making peace." Verse 16. "And that He might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross." By the cross. Jesus Christ is the only hope. You have to confess that. You have to agree with that. You have to realize He is not one among many. He is the only way. "Having reconciled both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereof, and came and preached peace to them which were afar off and to them which were nigh." The far off ones are us. The near ones were the Jews then. It says, "For through Him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father." Man, am I thankful for the Lord Jesus Christ. Man, am I thankful that it was made clear to me and that the Holy Spirit convicted me that Jesus Christ is not one way among many. I've talked with people. Perhaps you've talked with people. And just recently I got an email, and it was filled with some curse words. One of the things that it says is, "You act like Jesus Christ is the only way to God." Guilty. You know, what am I supposed to say? And it says, "That can't be true." Well, I'm sorry. Book says it's true. It's true. You know, and so if I act like it, that's because I believe it. That's because God said it. And as far as I'm concerned, that settles it. And so that's what that whole issue is about, that Jesus Christ isn't one way of many. You can't say, I confess, Lord, that this is the way I'm going to choose because this looks like the best way among several. That won't cut it. That isn't confessing Jesus. That isn't agreeing with the truth. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. And so before you can have faith, saving faith, there has to be a confession. You have to see that Jesus is Lord. Not a Lord, but the Lord. The only one. Well, if you're going to be saved, you must confess openly that you're a sinner and that you need the Lord Jesus Christ, and only He will do. Only He will do. Now, some of the Jews in Jesus' day, they refused to confess Him openly. They wanted secretly, you know, oh yeah, I kind of believe in this guy. That's not going to cut it. Turn with me to John chapter 12, 42 and 43. John chapter 12, 42 and 43. It says, nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on Him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess Him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. Now look at this. For they loved the praise of men more than the what? Praise of God. Now, were these saved or not? I don't believe they were, because they didn't confess Jesus Christ. They were worried about what people were going to say. You know, I've had so many people through all the years of the ministry, 39 years of ministry, I've had so many people just say, you know, I just don't think I'm going to do it. I don't know what my parents would think. I don't think my husband would like that. Wait a minute. This is a matter of heaven and hell. Jesus Christ didn't come to bring peace. He came to bring division. And there's more than one person who's come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, and their spouses are really upset, and some have been dumped because of their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's sad when it happens. But listen, if you're going to be saved, you need to be able to cry out to the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to say, oh, I need this, I need this, I need this. It's very, very interesting. I think it puts a real interesting twist on things to look at Matthew chapter 10, verse 32 through 39. If you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 10, verse 32 through 39. Belief or faith is necessary to obtain the gift of righteousness. And when we have the second little phrase here, I'm going to read it as you're turning to the passage of Scripture. First of all, you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. In other words, He's the only one. He's the only way. He is the Lord. He's not a way. He is the way. But then, look at verse 10. It says, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That is a second aspect of the confession. Belief or faith is necessary to obtain the gift of righteousness. Confession, here in this second aspect, is necessary to prove that you have received this gift. For it says, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So confession is necessary to prove that this gift has been received. If a man or a woman does not confess Christ at the hazard of his life or his character or his property or his liberty or rejection of their friends, I had people tell me, you're not any fun anymore. Well, okay, if doing bad things is fun, I'd rather go to heaven than go to hell. But so they distance themselves from me. But in Matthew chapter 10, verse 32 through 39, our Lord writes this, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. Whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. And then I already mentioned this, but think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I am come not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. And he that loveth father and mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. When Paul says confession is made unto salvation, he does not mean, listen to me, I put a not in there, he does not mean that confession is the cause of salvation. That's not what he's saying. Not at all. Very, very clearly, when a man believes in his heart, when there is faith, when there's belief, that is what saves the man. But when that man is saved, he wants people to know. He wants people to know. A confession of Christ is the effect. The second confession, when it says, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation, confession of Christ is the effect or the result of genuine faith. Why not? When you get saved, you want other people to get saved as well. Do you not? Yes. I remember, you know, so many people when they get saved do the same thing I did. You get on fire for the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not saying it's wrong, but you know what? Some of the times what I tried to do was this. I tried to take the Bible and shove it down everybody's throat. You know? I mean, I just wouldn't back off. In fact, I got a whole lot of family people really aggravated at me. I've told you this before. You shouldn't keep your mouth shut, but you can't force somebody to get saved. It has to be the work of the Holy Spirit, is all I'm saying. But I made an appointment. I made an appointment with my sister. I made an appointment with my mom. I made an appointment, and I sat down and I said, if you'll let me have half an hour, I didn't say this, but my mind was, I'll quit trying to shove this down your throat if you give me half an hour. I said it much more tactfully than that. But what I did was sit down, shared my testimony, made salvation very, very clear, and then I wasn't constantly, I still did, I told them, you know, you start talking about an area that's on my beliefs, I'm still going to talk, but I'm not going to try and shove it down your throat if you'll listen to what I have to say. And so they did. And it was years later, but thank God, my sister, it is such a pleasant thing to talk to my sister now. She used to hate to see me coming. Well, you know why? Well, it was my evangelistic campaign. Now, I'm not saying don't witness to your family. Please don't misunderstand me. But you can't force feed people and, you know, you can't hold a gun to their head and say, you got to get saved. You should witness. And you should keep on. But by the same token, sometimes you can just go way too far and they just turn you off, thereby turning the ministry of the Holy Spirit off. So anyway, it's such a blessing to talk to my sister now. You know why? God worked in her life and she got saved. And I am just so pleased. My sister has a very difficult time getting around. yet she said very clearly to me, she said it to my mom, but she says, David, despite my handicaps and disabilities, I am happier than I've ever been any time in my entire life. You know why? She has a peace of God that passes understanding now. And she can handle the hassles of the pain and handle the hassles of the disability and all that sort of things now. Because the confession of Jesus Christ is the effect or the result of genuine faith. It doesn't cause it. It's the result. And you want to share that faith with other people. And she regularly tries to evangelize her friends from her past lifestyle now. And she invited several of her friends to hear her brother preach at her mom's church. And they came and they, you know, they heard the message of salvation. And why did she do that? She wanted them to hear the gospel. She knew that I would preach the gospel and they might come to a special occasion. Faith, which has endowed the sinner in the righteousness of Christ, is made obvious by the confession of his name in the midst of the unsaved, in the midst of our enemies, in the midst of danger. And so we should confess the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm just, you know, I have a graduate degree in history, and I was just thinking how to illustrate this. There was the Archbishop of Canterbury, whose name was Thomas Cranmer, in the 1500s, and he was responsible in part for the placement of the Great Bible before it had been a forbidden book. The Great Bible was called Great because it was the greatest Bible, the largest Bible in size. But he persuaded wicked Henry VIII to put the Great Bible in every church in England. It was also called the Chain Bible because they would chain it to a reading stand, and then the churches had to provide a reader. It usually was in the back, and more people were listening to the Bible being read because before it was a forbidden book. Then we're listening to the preacher preach. And that made a lot of the preachers aggravated, but it was a mandate by Thomas Cranmer, who was the Archbishop of Canterbury at the time. Well, Thomas Cranmer, I visited the place where Thomas Cranmer was burned at the stake in Oxford. It's marked on the pavement. You've heard the phrase, X marks the spot. Well, that original phrase came from there. Right on the middle of the street is an X where Cranmer and Ridley and Latimer were burned at the stake there for their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But here's what happened. Thomas Cranmer supported the Christian queen, Lady Jane Grey, after Henry VIII died. Lady Jane Grey was fluent in Greek. She owned her own personal copy of the William Tyndale Bible. She was a diligent witness to her friends. And she was queen for a whole 9 days. Because Mary the First, also known as Bloody Mary, got an army together and deposed Jane Grey, who was relatively forced into the position because really she didn't replace Henry VIII, but she replaced his young son, evangelical son Edward, who had died at a young age. But nonetheless, to make a long story short, Cranmer did a thing that he was so embarrassed about. When he was taken into captivity by Bloody Mary, he was kept without sleep and he was tortured and drilled. And finally, he signed a recantation of his evangelical faith. In other words, he denied the Lord Jesus Christ. And so they thought, ha ha, you know, he's turned back to Catholicism. And so we're going to make him a spectacle. Before we burn him at the stake, we're going to bring him up and he's going to say, oh, I'm so sorry I left Catholicism and it was the wrong move to make and all the stuff I taught about believing in Jesus Christ and faith alone and reading the Bible. Well, you shouldn't do that. You should listen to the priest. So they brought him out. And instead of denying the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he had denied the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and signed papers denying the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and the Word of God, he got up and he says, I recant my recantation. He says, if I have to pay for this with my life, I'm going to pay for it with my life. And he gave solid testimony to the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, he said, the hand that signed the recantation that mocked the Lord Jesus Christ is going to be the first hand that is going to burn of my body in the fire. And that's exactly what happened when they put him at the stake and they started the fire. You know what he did? He stuck his hand right in there. because he was so embarrassed about denying the Lord Jesus Christ. He got his life straight around and he confessed the Lord Jesus Christ before he was burned at the stake. You know what? We need to make obvious that Jesus Christ is our personal Savior to our family, to our friends, to our co-workers. We need to confess with our mouth, as it very clearly says. It says, with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. We shouldn't be ashamed that we're saved. We need to start out by recognizing that Jesus Christ is Lord. He's the only way. He's not one among many. We need to confess that. We need to realize that He's our only hope. But then, after we believe, after we put our confidence, after we put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that is when we should open our mouth and make confession to the Lord, because we have a treasure, as the Bible says, in earthen vessels. I'm going to go on, because we need to come to the second essential, and that is belief or faith. The Greek word in verse 9, translated right here, is we believe in thy heart. It is the word pistuo, which means to be persuaded of, to think to be true, to place confidence in. And so it's important that we see what we are to be persuaded of, what we need to think is true, and what we need to place our confidence in. So let's look at verse 9. It says very clearly, and shall believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead. Any proclamation of the gospel needs to include the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, because we don't sing when we get together and sing the song, I serve a dead Savior. I don't know what we sing, is it? I serve a living and risen Savior. I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that He is living. Whatever man may say, I see his hand of virtue, and so on and so forth. God hath raised Christ from the dead. If we are to be saved, we must believe. Now listen to me, because down south a ways, they have some professors in the school that claimed to be evangelical for a long time that didn't believe in the literal, physical, bodily resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. All they believed in was a spiritual resurrection. Somebody says, oh, yeah, we believe in the spiritual resurrection. Wait a minute. No, the resurrection of Jesus Christ was literal. That means it's actual, it's physical, and it was bodily. In other words, when he came and said to Thomas, put your finger in there. What are we talking about? Are we talking about some spook spirit? No, we're talking about a physical, literal Lord Jesus Christ who walked and talked and you could feel him. Literal, physical, bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ. God publicly acknowledged Christ to be what he claimed to be. The resurrection of Christ from the dead was a public indicator that God accepted all that Jesus Christ came to perform. All of it! God acknowledged Christ as his Son and the Savior of the world. The literal, physical, bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead attests to God's acceptance of Christ's blood sacrifice for our sins. I just want to state it real plain. Christ's resurrection from the dead proves that Christ was God's Son and our Savior, and that God accepted his blood sacrifice for our sins. And so when we sing, what can wash away my sins? The answer is nothing but the blood of Jesus. How do I know? Well, Acts chapter 17, verse 31, the second half of the verse. It says, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, listen to this, in that he hath raised him from the dead. I love Romans 1:4. It's one of my favorites. One of my favorites. It says, and declared to be the Son of God with power. Where did the power come from? According to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. Jesus Christ's resurrection was different than any other resurrection, Old Testament or New Testament. There are people who were raised from the dead in the Old Testament. There are people who were raised from the dead in the New Testament. But you know what? They all died again. Because it was a resurrection to mortality. Jesus Christ's resurrection was a resurrection to immortality, never to die again. I'm excited for the rapture, particularly right now. I wish it would come real soon, before the end of this service. But you know what? When we get our glorified body, we will never die again. Jesus Christ was the first fruits. He was the forerunner. He was the first one. And we will be raised to immortality. Man, it is powerful. When you believe in the literal, physical, bodily resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I read an article by a professor one time that said, that's not necessary to believe in the literal, physical, bodily resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. You just need to believe in His good works. Hogwash! He was declared to be the Son of God with power by the resurrection of the dead. No one, and I say it emphatically, no one can be saved who does not believe in the literal, physical, bodily resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not possible. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, blessed be God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath He begotten us again unto a lively hope. Listen to this. Unto a lively hope, 1 Peter 1, 3, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. You're born again by a belief in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ from the what? Dead. Turn to Romans chapter 10 and verse 10. Simply, as we have been talking about, it says, for with the heart men believe unto righteousness. Back to our scripture. And with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. This verse adds another dimension to belief or faith. It clarifies the kind of belief that's necessary for salvation. The word that does this is the word heart. And indeed, it is the Greek word cardia. It's the Greek word, cardia. The word is used 105 times in our King James Version of the Bible. And not in one instance, not in one single instance, does it refer to this organ that pumps blood? You check me out. You want to study? You look up every time you see the word heart, and not once does it refer to this. It refers to this. It's not talking about the heart that pumps blood through the circulatory system. The heart refers to the soul or the innermost mind. It is the fountain or the seat of our thoughts. It's the fountain or the seat of our passions, our desires, our appetites, our affections, our endeavor, and our volition, our will. The heart is the center or the seat of our spiritual life. And here's why it's important to understand this. Saving faith is not a matter of superficial preference. Saving faith is not merely an intellectual exercise. There's a lot of people, you know, who have an intellectual understanding about the facts of Jesus Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, but they're not saved. There are many who know about Jesus Christ, yet they do not know Jesus Christ. And there is a difference. There's a difference. Heart belief is a core, passionate, absolute, whole trust in Christ and Him alone. This is the kind of trust demonstrated by Thomas in John chapter 20, verse 25 through 29. When Thomas comes, and Jesus gives him the invitation. There's no indication that he ever did what Jesus asks. All he said was, the light went on in his head, And he made the decision in his head and he says, my Lord and my God. Doubting Thomas became believing Thomas. If you do not have a heart faith, then you do not have saving faith. When you have heart faith, the righteousness of Jesus Christ is added to your account. Romans 10:10a says, for with the heart men believe unto righteousness. The second part of the verse, in verse 10 and 11, reiterates the importance of confession. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Verse 11, the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Verse 11 serves as a reminder to the Jews that they were not the only chosen people. The Jews disliked the word whosoever, for the scripture saith, whosoever believeth. Doesn't matter whether you're Jew or Gentile. Doesn't matter whether you're a garbage collector or the President of the United States. It doesn't matter whether you're red, yellow, black, or white. It doesn't matter whether you're male or female, because you all fit into the whosoever. Jews dislike that. Verse 12 is an assertion that salvation is open to anyone who will call upon the Lord in faith. In fact, this is affirmed in verse 13 when Paul cites Joel chapter 2, verse 32, to prove that whosoever calls upon the Lord will be saved, not just the Jews. Well, the last point of the message is a very brief one, and that focuses in on our will. The will is the volitional part of our being. And when I speak of volition, I'm referring to making a choice. I'm referring to making a choice. If you will turn back with me to Romans chapter 10, and then let me just read to you verses 12 and 13, because I didn't read them to you earlier. Romans chapter 10, 12 and 13, it says, for there is no difference between Jew and Greek. The same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. Verse 13, for whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever will, you need to do that. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You know, the word translated call there in verse 12 and verse 13, it means to cry out for help. You're making a call out for help for the Lord. And so if you call out for help and you understand that Jesus Christ is the only answer, and if you're willing to trust Him and Him alone, believing that He rose again from the dead and He paid for your sins, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be what?
Saved.
I hope it gives you a little bit of a better understanding of what we're talking about here. It's an exciting passage of Scripture. Somebody has to start out by understanding before they can even get on the page to be saved, that Jesus Christ isn't one of many. He is the Lord. He's one of one. And then you move on to the belief. And it isn't an intellectual exercise in acknowledging the facts. It is making a volitional choice of the will where you realize, I'm in trouble. You're my only way out, Lord. I trust you've all done that. But I want you to be sure when you're witnessing to other people, don't soft pedal it. Tell it like it is. Oh, they may not like it. They may do like the one lady did with me. She cussed me out three houses down when we were going knocking on doors. She got in her car and rolled down her window and just let her rip for three houses down. You know what? I really pray that someplace along that line, the lady came to realize how wrong she was and how desperate she needed the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't wish hell on anybody. But, you know, stick by the stuff. Don't water it down. And keep on keeping on. Let's pray.